Will anyone use Facebook's new cryptocurrency, Libra?
To get people to use it, you have to come up with some kind of incentive. There has to be a reason for people to want to use a currency.
And San Francisco passes the first ban on e-cigarette sales in the United States.
We have to wait and see if this changes the discourse.
Plus, Robert Mueller agrees to testify in front of Congress. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story of the morning, just how Facebook plans to attract us all to use its cryptocurrency Libra, here's what you missed. Special counsel Robert Mueller has agreed to testify in front of the House next month. From Washington, Siobhan Hughes has more.
Special counsel Robert Mueller will testify on July 17th in open session before a pair of House committees. Two Democrats, Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler and Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, had pushed for it. The chairman also revealed that they had issued a subpoena to compel Mr. Mueller's testimony. Attorney General William Barr has previously said he has no problem with Mr. Mueller's testifying and would not stand in the way.
The White House declined to comment. However, President Trump did tweet after Mr. Mueller's testimony was announced the phrase presidential harassment. And San Francisco became the first city to pass a comprehensive ban on the sale of e-cigarettes last night. The move came after officials in the city became concerned about the rise of teen vaping. The measure now needs to be signed by the city's mayor. But Talal Ansari says that might not be the end of the story, as e-cigarette companies like Juul are objecting to the measure.
Yeah, so Juul is so big that it has become a verb, one of those things. They think that banning this will just result in adults turning to traditional combustible cigarettes instead of using their products, which, as we know, combustible cigarettes are known to cause cancer and kill up to 480,000 people in the U.S. each year. So that's their stance on it. On another level, the way they're fighting it, and it's unclear if they're going to go through with this, but they have put $500,000 in a committee that's collecting signatures, that's hoping to have something on the ballot this coming November that will basically, you know, it says, you know, we're going to ensure that e-cigarette use only applies to people 21 and above. But effectively, what that also does is overrides any sort of ban, and it still can be sold that way.
And here's some potentially good news. For the first time in decades, drug overdose deaths in the U.S. are on the precipice of declining. Authorities are still counting the numbers from 2018, but provisional data from the Centers for Disease Control is pointing lower, that a little over 69,000 people died from overdoses last year compared to 72,000 the year before. If the trend holds, it would be the first annual fall in drug deaths since 1990. Now, our main story this morning. You might have heard that Facebook is planning to launch its own cryptocurrency called Libra by 2020. The coin has the backing of some pretty big names, Spotify, Visa, and PayPal, to name just a few. They've all pledged about $10 million in support of the effort. Now the question is, if they build it, will we come? To find out more about how Facebook plans to attract users to the coin, Charlie Turner has been speaking to Paul Vigna.
First, Paul, what does Libra potentially have going for it? I assume, you know, Facebook's huge user base, but what about Libra itself makes it stand out against other cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin?
This is sort of one of the central questions that I think are very, very interesting. And what is going to incentivize you basically is going to boil down to usability, convenience. Does it work? Is it easy? Is it part of my life? You know, and I think with Libra, and especially with a lot of these digital currencies, we often think about, can I use it to buy a cup of coffee? But I think the more pertinent use is going to be, can I use it to buy something online? Is it going to be accepted at Amazon? Is it going to be a one-click thing? You know, like, is my Libra account going to be tied to whatever my personal identity is on whatever website I happen to be on at the moment? And is it all going to be sort of one click? Is it going to be easy? Is it going to be simple for me? Is it going to be convenient? Do I trust the people that are maintaining this currency? That's going to be a really, really big issue.
Yeah. Isn't there a potential trust problem for labor given Facebook's privacy and user data issues?
There is. There's a huge trust problem. Facebook's one way that Facebook is trying to minimize that is by pledging that they're not going to tie this data to anything on Facebook itself, their ad networks and all that stuff. There are people who are, but again, they've already lost the benefit of the doubt by that because they have violated their users' privacy time and again. And the fact of the matter is that Facebook's business model is really monetizing data. So talking about incentives, Facebook has a strong incentive to collect as much data about you as possible and then use it for its own profit. They are going to have to prove that they're not doing that. It's not enough to just stick it in a report and say that we're not doing it. They're going to have to prove that they're not doing it. That's going to take a very long time after this thing launches. So they are starting from a trust deficit. One thing they're going to do with this is that the stablecoin, Libra, is going to be backed by reserves. So in other words, if I want to buy $100 worth of Libra, I will go to an authorized reseller. I'll give them $100 of cash, of real currency. They will give me $100 of Libra. They will take that $100 and stick it in a bank account somewhere.
How important is Calibra?
Calibra is a subsidiary that Facebook set up. It's another company within Facebook that is basically going to be Facebook's entity involved in the Libra network. So Libra is the currency. Libra is the protocol, the software protocol. Calibra is Facebook's entity that is going to build services around that currency and that protocol. Calibra is going to be the name of the wallet that you will get. So you will get a Calibra wallet, and you will buy Libra with it, and you will hold it in your wallet. And somehow that is going to be linked to Facebook and any other corporate partners that are in there. Maybe you can use your Calibra wallet to, you know, pay for Uber rides or Spotify music or that kind of stuff. And that's another aspect with the incentives we talk about. One, it's going to have to be easy to use. It's going to have to be convenient. They are probably, at least initially, because again, you want to give people a reason to use it. And a powerful reason is going to end up being discounts. We don't know that that is going to happen yet, but it seems like a pretty natural way for this to work, that especially in the early days, Spotify, Uber, anybody who's trying to get you to use this is going to offer you either straight up, they'll just say like, open a wallet and get $100 free, 100 Libra free or something, or they'll say use Libra and get a 10% discount. It's some way to, again, give you a monetary incentive to use this. They have to build this up as a service you want to use.
The group that will govern the cryptocurrency, the Libra Association, says it wants to make the transfer of currency more efficient than the alternatives. We want to know, would you use it? Email us at whatsnews, all one word, at WSJ.com or tweet us at WSJ Podcasts. You can read Paul's story up on our website. On to markets. Here's a market we don't talk about that often, the one for gold. But the price of gold is rising at its quickest pace in years. It's declined slightly this morning, but the trend still holds. So to find out more about what's going on, I rang up our markets reporter, Mike Bird.
So the gold price is a really interesting one. It hasn't risen in this way for quite a long time, and it's really been the dog that didn't bark in financial markets for a lot of the period since about 2011-12. Gold, one of the oldest financial markets in the world, is something you would expect to appreciate in two occasions. One, when interest rates are low and falling, and the other when there is a lot of economic and political uncertainty going on. So I mean, some of the things that are happening at the moment that are making the gold price rise particularly are the falling US interest rates, which are based on declining growth expectations and declining inflation expectations. And also what's going on between the US and China, the trade war there, it's unsettling a lot of people, and that's a major factor behind the change in the gold price this year.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. you might have noticed if you turned on your TV last night that the first Democratic debate wasn't actually on. In yesterday's podcast, I said the debate was Tuesday night, but clearly I just got a little too excited. The first of two debates kicks off tonight. I apologize for any stale popcorn. Now, to make sure you're prepared, we've got a preview of what to watch up on our site. The rest of the day, as part of his trip to India, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made an unannounced stop in Afghanistan. There, he said he hoped a peace deal would be possible by September.
As President Trump has said, after almost now two decades of war in Afghanistan, the hour has come for peace.
U.S. and Taliban negotiators are set to start another round of talks this week in Qatar. Finally, before we let you go, chances are, if you're like me, you've been dreaming about a summer vacation. The only thing better than a vacation is a free ticket, especially one using airline points. That's something that's becoming more likely because airline reward programs have become more generous. Here's our mid-seat columnist, Scott McCartney, on what's changed.
This has all been kind of forced on them, but it's good news for travelers. They are getting more generous with their award seats. It's getting easier to use your frequent flyer miles. And also the price of the awards in miles or points is actually coming down. Most miles these days are earned on the ground, not in the air. And so airlines are selling billions of dollars worth of miles, mainly to credit card companies. And it's been a huge incentive for people in the credit card business, but it's going to weaken, and it has weakened some, when people get frustrated and can't use their miles. So you're earning this reward, but you can't ever use it because you can't find a seat. And so the credit card companies, along with consumers, have really been pressuring airlines to make more seats available for miles.
You can find Scott's list of the best frequent flyer programs for 2019 up on our website. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.